Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. Welcome to the weekly special of Misfits of Gold. I'm not feeling 100% today, but we're going to rock out a show. You know, today's topic is the crumbling of power and the deceit it brings to all involved. You know, it's a very vast statement, but if you just sit back for a moment and think about it, and you think of the individuals that get a little bit of power and what it does to them and how it changes them, then it's not about the team anymore. It's about them and where they can go. And then the lies start, and that's where the deceit comes. With that topic being thrown out there, I'd like to welcome MF Beck and Travis Highland to the program. How you doing, Phyllis?
What's up, man? What's up, Don? How you doing?
Bro, you know, actually today's topic kind of resonates in my heart. It kind of sits at home with me. Because, you know, when I got in this business, it was dirty to begin with, but one thing you could count on was the real of the sport. A handshake was a handshake, a word was a word, and nobody tried to get famous off of somebody else's back. And you know, when you look at the thought, when you know it's turned back on them, when that issue of where they're trying to take things and when fighters leave them, when other people start to question, you know, who they are, that crumbling begins, and therefore the deceit even gets even larger. You know, I'm going to jump to you first, Travis, because you're very outspoken in life. When I make that type of statement, you're a young gentleman in the sport. How does it feel to you, and what have you seen in that aspect in the sport in this short time?
Man, I mean, you know, it's really been crazy because I haven't been in the sport all that long, you know. But even not being in the sport that long, I have seen, you know, quite a few things. I've seen quite a few gyms come and go, you know. And it really just relates, you know, to life in general, man. And it kind of, I feel like it almost kind of reflects, you know, the state of politics and everything in this country right now, where we're in a time of transition, you know, not only just as individuals, but as a country as a whole, you know, and I really feel like it's starting to kind of bleed over into everything else, you know. And as far as the fight game goes, man, you know, I mean, you know, it's old school boxing that has just completely gone awry because the sport is so new, you know. People have the ability to play within the loopholes of the sport not being very old. And, you know, they've taken the worst aspects of, you know, Don King and old boxing promoters, and they've co-opted it with social media in this weird way that, you know, like, I don't think human history has ever experienced, you know. We're in a time right now with the internet and this interconnectivity, you know, that people are, they're kind of learning how to communicate. They're learning how to navigate through all of this shit, you know. And I think it just, you know, I think we're in a time of transition really everywhere in the whole country and even with a lot of MMA gyms, things like that.
You know, I truly think you're right. You know, I got a point that you just brought up, but I'm going to let MF go ahead and answer our opening question. MF, what are your thoughts?
Man, like, pretty much what Travis was just touching on, except for, in a way, I kind of believe it's just a little bit different. I don't think that humans have actually changed. Like, we've come so far as, like, just even, like, understanding of how things work in the world. But as people, like, as a human race, dude, we ain't fucking changed for shit in the last, you know, however many thousands of years. You know, like, it's still the same problems, still the same issues, still the same, you know, dictators, still the same people that are in power, people that are losing power, the different types of power. It's all the same. It's just the only difference is now is that, being for the first time in history, all that can go globally instantly. You know what I mean? Rather than it taking, like, a couple of weeks for word to travel or, like, a couple months for word to travel, it's like now all the bullshit, all the propaganda, all, you know, everything could just be blasted out right in front of everybody. And then you get social media in general. It's like what we've talked about before. You know, it's an embodiment of somebody's ego. it gives these people a pair of cojones to where they think that, you know, my opinion matters and I can say this and I can say this. Why? Because I don't even have to look this dude in the eye or this female in the eye. I don't have to do anything in person. When it really comes down to it, it's like, okay, well, if you had to do that conversation in person, if you had to say that, or if you really felt like you should say something or do something, but they're not going to do it in person. So it's like it gives people an out, you know, like it gives them a way to, like, live outside of reality. Because they could see what they want, whether it's sports, whether it's, you know, like any type of, like, entertainment, news. It doesn't really matter, dude. And then you get the fight world. I mean, it was more pure when there was no weight classes, no rules. I mean, then it was like, really, who the fuck wants it? Who wants it? Now it's like there's a politics on who's fighting. There's the weight cutting. There's all the different shit that comes along with it. You got all these different coaches that want to do it their way. They want to do this. You know, like, you got these fighters that want to get to a certain point, but have no clue what they're doing. You know, and half the time it's not even like the fighters or the practitioner's fault. It's like, and me personally as a coach, like, any fault that happens to my fighter, any type of, like, bad situation or some kind of mistake they make, like, I take that as my own because maybe I could have taught them differently. Maybe there was something, like, I could have done differently, you know, like, increase the communication, you know, somehow kind of work it. Maybe I see the whole. But I check my ego at times like that, too, and, you know, that's where the whole group of misfits comes in. So it's like, even if I don't catch something, I know one of them will, and I'm like, fucking, you know, I'm more appreciative of that shit. Or if they correct me and, like, you know, more enlighten me on a situation, more of the, like, what I knew before. But the fire world is crazy, dude. It's entertainment first and foremost. So if you treat it like an entertainment industry, if you look at it like an entertainment industry, it's not going to let you down. But if you think it's all about glory and honor, dude, it's just not like that. I mean, you could do that. Go fight, you know, go find a practitioner, go off in a gym, sign a waiver, dude, and get down with nobody watching you. You know, that's like really the only fucking gear form that's going to be about it, dude. And people in power, the second they start to lose that power, the second they start to feel like they're losing power, it's like a jealous, overbearing boyfriend, girlfriend, you know what I mean? They start sensing something's wrong, and so they try harder, and they squeeze harder, and they try to do everything they can to rein you in, and it's like the whole time, it pushes you away more and more and more and more. And then they're just sit there, they're like, you know, what the fuck just happened? It's like, hey, well, if you weren't so focused on yourself, maybe you would have seen it. It's not that hard.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. You know, to me, see, a lot of people don't understand, because you look at me, I'm 51 years old, and I didn't have the internet growing up, so my philosophy on social media is it's degressed society. It's taken people backwards. It's morally and fundamentally screwed up civilization, in my opinion. You know, anybody that wants to be a damn TV star can go Facebook Live and do whatever. And it kind of segues me into partially a point that, you know, I mentioned about Travis. Travis had shared a post, and I thought it was the most sickening post I had seen. A grown man talking about, yeah, I can't deny that I was married. I can't deny that I have kids, but, you know, I'm an 8-year-old little girl. And I'm like, what the fuck? And when I sat back and listened to it more, than said, well, my little sister said, you know, you can't be older than me, so I'm going to be 6 the rest of my life. First and foremost, I would not let that little sick fuck around my daughter, let alone the parents of this little girl, in my opinion, should be put on charges for allowing what I deem as a pedophile to be around their young child, and for them to sit there and take pictures and post this shit on the internet. It's truly disgraceful. It's disgusting. It's demeaning. And to me, it's just morally not right. You know, Travis, when you first seen that post, what the hell went through your head?
Man, I don't know. What year was it that we as a culture decided that there were no more crazy people? You know, I just don't get it. Even when I was growing up, there were some people that, hey, guess what? That's a fucking crazy. You know, that person's brain is broken in some type of an infixable way, and there are just, you know, some kind of people out there like that. It's amazing to me, man, and, you know, I really think that it all stemmed from, I remember when I was growing up, not necessarily my generation, but I remember seeing even a few classes down where they had decided to stop keeping score in sports. You know, now there's nobody keeping score, and everyone gets a participation trophy, and everyone's equal. You know, when I was growing up, you know, I'm not an incredibly attractive dude in any sense of the imagination, you know. So when I grew up, my mom told me, you know, you got to accept yourself for who you are, you know. Look in that mirror, that's you. fucking accept it and make yourself the best version of that person that you can and go on about your life, you know? But now it's like we have, it's just a complete and absolute disconnect in society, man. And it's one of the most baffling and astounding things that I've ever experienced, and I cannot wrap my head around.
Yeah, you know, it threw me for a loop. I honestly shared the post, and to my surprise, to be quite honest with you, I would say at least 50, 60 people unfriended me. Maybe 30 or 40 people stopped following me. But the public outcry that seen this post was almost like, you know, it was stunning because, you know, all the way from one of the Kansas City Royals baseball players to some of the top people in the business, you know, commented on this post when I shared it. And it shocked me that I was going to get such a public backlash in some ways from others. You know, I, for one, I'm not against, you know, homosexuality. To me, that's your business. What you do behind your door is your business, you know. My best friend, Tanya Evinger, she's a lesbian in life. You know, more power to her. That's her life. She lives it. She has to answer to it. You know, who am I to judge? I'm just a person just like she is. I have no more rights in life than she does. You know, so going forward with that, you know, it sickens me when I see a grown man dressed as a woman saying he's 6 years old. And it just fucked me up in the head. And then what happened from there was several people started tagging me in these trans age things to let me know what was really going on, because this is a huge thing now. Now they're talking about youth of America, you know, children in schools are getting counseling and these and things of that nature, and there's no age limit on deciding whether you're going to be a male or female as far as children are concerned. And that's just sick as fuck in my mind. But let's get back on topic here. You know, the thing that really, in the last week, there's some moral issues that I feel just have been perplexed to the point that I feel on my own that you two have no knowledge of what I'm about to say. We have not spoke about anything on this level, but it pertains to the facility that you work at. You know, I never usually say a name, but I'm going to say some names because, to be quite honest with you, I'm a little disgusted with the situation. You know, it pertains to Jim West and Doug Casebyer. You know, we talk about things of power, people that when they feel that some of their power is being taken away or being questioned, they run like a wild animal or a dog or whatever to repair whatever damage they feel has been done, or they reach out to people that are pertinent in the sport that they feel that will back them no matter what situation. And that's transpired this week. You know, I will allow Coach Doug to come on Sunday and talk about whatever he has in life, but at the same time, he's going to hear what I have to say, as I'm transparent. But for Jim West and Doug to reach out to me in the manner that they did, and, you know, in further dealings before this, you know, it was like only time there was an issue that was going to arise social media aspect-wise before the press got a hold of it. And it's like, you know, I look at that, and I think we were friends at one point. And then to realize that I'm basically just another avenue for them to escape, to get their story out, to utilize and to use. How does that make you feel, knowing that sometimes situations that are that close to you arise across the country? And I'll start with you, Travis.
I mean, luckily my bullshit detector is pretty high, and we picked up on it pretty early. You know, I mean, and that's what I've said before, you know. I mean, as far as Doug goes, I've met con men before. I've met a lot better con men than that is, you know. And so it's one of those things where it took a little bit, but once you see the situation for what it is, man, it's fucking really, really easy to tell, you know? Luckily, I've had enough experience in real life and in the real fucking world and out on the streets with no money and dealing with people with no rules, you know, that I've learned enough about shitty people and about con artists, you know? So you just, it's all about just checking your ego, man. And that's, you know, that's what we are all about. And that's kind of the reason that we've come into this, you know, collective group of misfits, is just the fact that we're not about any of the ego bullshit, you know. We're not about the, you know, needing everyone to acknowledge me and acknowledge that I'm the fucking trainer and I'm the reason that everyone, you know, there's none of that here, man. There's, and so that's kind of why we came together. And in all honesty, it's been one of the best things for us.
You know, I have to agree, you know, The capacity that what they came at me in is pathetic, you know. And I, like I said, I'm transparent in life, you know. I'll let MF answer the question here in a second, but I just want to get one more thought out there. And I don't relish in saying this. I just think it's something that's pertinent. You know, when you sit back and you look in the mirror, Jim West or Doug, and you realize how much credit you've taken for things in life, realize about all the things you haven't done, not about what you've done. Realize about all the people that are deserving that didn't get that attention because you didn't see the ability to grow with them. All you saw was the ability to write them off. You know, life isn't about being able to ride coattails to fame. There is no you or I in team. And with that being said, it's just purely pathetic in my heart and in my mind when I had a lot of respect for you in the beginning and now that I see what you truly are about, it's pathetic, you know. Now, MF, you know, you had no knowledge of what I was fitting to say today. Nobody does. It's my show. I say what I want. You know, I know you're a trainer at your gym for the Misfits of Gold and you're attached to MMA Gold. How much of a relevant spot do I put you in? How much animosity gets perplexed back to you? Or is it just something that you just learned to, you know, accept and realize that there may be a day that y'all, there, you know, comes a parting of the sea?
Man, as far as how I see it, you know, like, first and foremost, if it wasn't for, you know, Dave and Jim, like, fucking dude, I wouldn't even be on this team. And it's the same thing, like, this team is what brought us together. You know, so credit's always, you know, given where it's fucking due. And on respect level two, you know, they took me in after fucking, dude, we've had that talk before. I'm not going to get into it, you know what I mean? But I was in a dark place before I came to the team. They still took me in like it wasn't anything. And in the beginning, it seemed like everything was all, you know, about the team and it was all love. But, like, somewhere down the line, that changed. I mean, there's a common denominator. I'm not going to say it just because, you know, obviously I can't go into politics on this shit. But there's a common denominator on what I believe on where things started going south. But that's my opinion, you know what I mean? It works for some people. It doesn't work for some people. But it was like somewhere down the line, like I used to run Tuesday and Thursday. Suddenly there was this talk where, oh, well, we're going to let Smash come in and teach your classes since, you know, only your guys work with you and you got your own place down in Folsom. And at first, like with me, you know, I'm like, Travis, I got built-in bullshit detector. And, like, the only thing that I thought in my mind with that was, like, the more people started working with me, like, they could tell that, like, these guys think for themselves. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have that ego bullshit. I'm not going to go sit there and fucking bark orders at these guys. You know, I may be their fucking coach by title, but I see eye to eye with them. You know what I mean? Like, they can never really control me on that aspect. So, in a way, it's like, I feel like they outcasted me to, you know, kind of keep me away from people. Same thing with Sam. You can even talk about that shit. It was like a... Right when he and I first started talking, there was, like, little smart talk about, oh, so, you know, it looks like MF got a hold of you. And it was like, dude, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? Like, I got a hold of him. Like, no. We started conversing and talking and had a lot in fucking common. We started kicking it, and bam, things just fucking happened. It's not like, you know, I went out there, I'm going to search this motherfucker out. Like, I had no idea who he was. I seen this dude with a fro, glasses, and a fucking Bankai tattoo, and I was like, I like this dude. You know what I mean? Like, I was just kind of how that was. But, dude, I feel like they outcasted me. Anybody that worked with me got blacklisted and, like, didn't get the attention that they deserved, you know, because we didn't play their game. But at the same time, it's like, it's fucked up because it used to be about the team. Like, it used to be all about the team, but then all of a sudden it became about these few, these five, you know, and I'm not going to, you know, I got nothing but love for the females on the team, but it's like, when you see that all the love, all the promotion, all everything is going to the females, I look at it in two ways. On the business side, I dig it. I understand it. Shit, if I had to, like, if we were in the same position, I'd be trying to promote females too. But on another side, it's like, you got motherfuckers that have been nothing but loyal to this team, you know, been there through all the bullshit, never jumped ship, never nothing. And now all of a sudden there's speculation like some of us were going to jump ship. It was like, no, I'm fucking sorry. Like, we vocalized it. We've been here. Like, we are MMA gold, and they still want to question that shit. And it's like, as far as the parting of the ways, like, dude, like, we've all talked about it. We would love to stay MMA gold. We want to stay MMA gold. But at the same time, you know, like, that train's leaving. Then if we got to do it on our own, we got to do it on our own. You know, it's like, you're not going to sit here and just deny trying to do something for them. You know, like, how could you not fucking expect that? Like, these guys look at me like a leader. Like, who would I be? You know, like, in a way, like, another lesson, I'll just end it on that. There was a lesson that I've always taught these guys. It's not that once you become a leader that you get acknowledged or you get respect. It's those that who are acknowledged and who have earned the respect that become the leader. You know, and in my opinion, if you want to be a fucking leader in any way, shape, or form, you are fucking crazy. Because I don't want it. I want nothing to fucking do with it.
Yeah, right? I would rather be the dude in the corner, man. I've been in those positions before, and they suck.
Oh, dude, I'd rather be in the rafters. You know what I mean? Let me watch shit from above. I don't even need to be on the same floor.
Well, you know, I'll jump to Travis, you know, because he said he wasn't the best-looking guy, you know.
Well, he runs. Yeah, have you seen this man run? He looks like a baby giraffe getting chased by a fucking lion. It's some of the fucking...
We're just picking on you, my man. We're just picking on you. You know...
I got pretty thick skin.
You know, I got a tattoo yesterday, as a lot of people figured out. And, you know, for some reason, I didn't theoretically know in my heart or in my mind what I was going to get. And, you know, the more I thought about it, I kept feeling this thought, fear me. And do I like the fact that people should fear me? No, because that's not the type of individual I am. But that is where this social media and, you know, certain aspects of power and egomaniacs and things are taking things. You know, if I have to prove who I am in life and what a true aspect of the sport is, I will, but at the same time, it's demeaning to me. But anyway, I got this tattoo that says, fear me, across my left hand. And, you know, in life, I look at a lot of avenues, I look at a lot of obstacles, and, you know, if I could do for somebody in 10 minutes what Jim West and Dave Hirschbein couldn't do all year, then you know what? You need to fear me, because I'm not going to let one fighter, whether they're 20-0 or 6-13 or whatever, go without having some sort of backing, some sort of promotion. You know, because you got to believe in what you're doing in life. You got to believe in the people that believe in you. You got to instill greater values in the people that show up at your gym every day. You got to make them feel like they're a part of the team. You know, I tell you what, if I was part of MMA Gold, I would be a little bit pissed off, because I know there's X amount of fighters, but when you go to social media, you see only few that are being posted about, promoted. And to me, that's a sickening thought. Travis, how does it make you feel to be a part of a team that doesn't relish in getting you out there?
I'm going to jump in real quick, gangster, about how you said fear me. Well, Machiavelli asked the prince, you know, is it better to be loved or to be feared? And the prince replied, it's safer to be feared.
Yeah. You know, truly it is. Travis?
All right, so what was that question, Don? Just give me the end of it again.
You're going to make me remember it when I'm all high and shit.
Okay.
I said, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to be a part of a team that promotes only a select few of their fighters. And what does it do to you in those aspects? And how do you relish those thoughts?
I mean, you know, it's, again, man, all this stuff, even more than just, you know, the niche of the gym, man, and it comes back to life, you know. When you're the popular girl in school, everybody gets, you know, you get everything handed. You know, unfortunately, or should I say fortunately, I guess, like I said, I haven't been fighting so long that, you know, I feel like I deserve a whole lot. I don't really feel like I've earned shit. I feel like fighting has helped me become a better person for me. But as far as, you know, I'm not the type of dude who, I don't need promotion. I don't need a pep talk. I don't need, you know. So I'm in kind of a weird position with that, because I'm just, you know, I'm just living my life, man. I'm trying to become a better person, and fighting is the way that does that for me, and fighting is what teaches me that. You know, but at the same time, you know, like you said, we have almost 50 on our roster, active fighters, you know, and you only see 7 or 8 of them, you know, and it's only from 2 or 3 people. You know, the rest of us, I mean, shit. Me, MF, Jordan, Sam, you know, Olson, Andrew, you know, we got 15 of us. We work out every fucking day. We're over here every fucking day, hitting mitts, lifting weights, fucking working techniques. But do we need to post a picture of it every day? Do we have to post a picture every time we fucking get on the treadmill for 20 minutes or it didn't happen, you know? It just comes down to we're not that type of piercing, you know? Piercing.
Which is like a person.
Right. You know, I want complete transparency. So, you know, I'll let you know, because I know you're listening, Dave and Jim. You know, I'm the one that connected Sam Toomer with the management group. Because here's a thought that you need to ask yourself. When you got a man that's ranked 7th in the world globally, now, I'm not talking about regional, I'm not talking about U.S., I'm talking about globally. Only 4 slots away from a man that's 17-1, a 7-time world champion, a 4-time champion in 4 different weight classes. And you're not promoting the gentleman. He has to self-promote. Do you think in your heart and in your mind that you did this man absolute justice? And I'm not even going to give an answer to that. I want you just to look in the mirror and think about what is perplexed in this situation with Sam Toomer, because I think you need to realize that life isn't about you. It's about the team. With that being said, you know, MF, we got a great thing going here. I love the Misfits of Gold weekly special. First and foremost, I want to apologize to not making it happen Wednesday. This week has kind of been a cluster nut for me, and you know, a lot of different things are happening in my life right now. But doing this show has meant a lot to me. It truly has inspired me. This show, for the people tuning in on iHeartRadio and Univision, I'm not sure you're used to hearing this type of show. But on the same note, my Tuesdays and Monday, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturday and Sunday shows are different. If you're not used to the let your hair down kind of shows, listen to my other shows. This is a show, you know, once a week where we get to speak our mind, our thoughts, and whatever we feel is relevant in the sport. And I love doing it with my brothers from the Misfits of Gold. Truly tremendous, real people in their walk in life. You know, MF, we've done this show for quite a bit now. What is it in your heart and in your thought has been the greatest takeaway thus far doing these shows?
Man, greatest takeaway, I don't really think there's any one that outshines the other. There's quite a few things, you know. It's helped me realize that maybe we do mean something, maybe we do matter, but not in like the form of the individual, you know what I mean? Like, as far as a group, dude, we all came together as like a necessity, you know, like not even like a fucking want. It was just, we all got drawn together because we were all from the same fucking boat. And it's like, you know, are we going to try and, you know, get this motherfucker going, or are we just going to let it sink if we all had the same fight or flight mentality where it's like, we fight. It's like, that's what we do. You know? And as far as that goes, too, it's like, it's crazy to know that other people feel the same way we do, like, all over the place. Like, it's not even just about, you know, like, our immediate circle. It's like, I'm sure there's not millions of people that have the same thoughts every day that just, you know, maybe their voice is never heard. Maybe it hasn't been heard and just shut down, you know, like what me and you've been going through the last 3 days. You know, like, I can feel it, dude. Like, I just feel like, you know, even if it's just one person that we help by doing it, you know, I'm all for it, dude. And even then, it's like, you gave us a beautiful fucking opportunity, you know what I mean, to speak what's been in our minds and our hearts for a long time. That it's just, you know, we've been in the background, dude. We've been outcasted. You know, it's kind of like my life. They'd rather people not know about us. You know what I mean? But then at the same time, it's like, you know, I feel like I like hearing you on the show with us because, like, it feels like I'm talking to you just how I always talk to you. You know, it's like you can let everything down and just really, like, get what's off your chest because, you know, we're not going to judge it. And shit, half time, we'll back you up because we feel the same way about shit. You know, I think it's cool, especially with all the PC garbage and matter and this and this and this. It's like, you know, your feelings matter. But what about the fact that these other people can't go around actually being themselves or feeling comfortable because they're going to get chastised, you know, they're going to get beat up, like something's going to happen to them, or they just live in fear because they, you know, they want to be themselves. Like, that's a shitty feeling, dude, you know? And it's like to feel like you're not alone in the universe. And to let other people know that they're not alone, be like, this is way bigger than us, and I think it's, you know, fake in a kind of crazy way. But I'm thankful for it, and I just hope that, you know, we have the capacity to take it as far as it needs to go.
You and me both. Travis, what are your thoughts on the show, and what has it done for you, allowing yourself to be able to come on a show, express your thoughts about life, society, and the inner workings of your life?
No, I definitely agree with, you know, everything MF said. And at the same time, I really think that, you know, for our group personally, you know, Misfits, that it's really going to give us, you know, an opportunity to kind of share some of these ideas with the world, you know, like we are. And like MF said, you know, I know for a fact that there are a lot of people out there who feel the same way, you know, who are having the same exact situations we're having. But the only difference is they live in the middle of Iowa, or their politics are in a cubicle, you know, and they're going through the same thing we're going through, you know. People together and collectively are a lot more similar than we like to give everyone credit to, you know. I truly think that the only thing that differentiates, you know, people, even more than genetics and even more than nature, is nurture, is your environment, you know, and the particular set of things that you went through growing up.
You know, I got to move forward in the show today as I have another guest. But I want to make a closing statement and thought about, you know, some people might think that, you know, I'm being a little bit too brazen, a little bit too harsh towards certain individuals. In reality, I'm not. You know, if you sit back and you think about it, put yourself in a situation. There was 10 people in a classroom, but only 2 of them got spoken to, 2 of them got taken on field trips, only 2 of them got taken out to, you know, special functions, and you were part of the other 8. How would that make you feel?
Fuck it, let them do it.
You know, it's just disgusting in my mind and in my thought. You know, I apologize, we're going to cut the show a little short today. It usually runs about 40, 45 minutes to an hour. You know, being that this is a Friday and there's a lot going on, I still wanted to make this show happen. You know, if there's anything that you guys would like to add to the program before we jump off, I'm going to go ahead and toss the mic to you, MF, first. And if there's any friends, family, anything you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours, my brother.
Yeah. Shout out to the Misfits, like always, you know, love you, Don McGuire. And, you know, and everybody that's helped us, even like with our project going on right now, dude, like it's been so stressful, and like it's because of the help of everyone that we've been able to push, you know, move forward with it, and keep pushing and keep pushing. You know, if somebody feels like they're going to break, the other people just kind of pick up the slack. But as far as it goes, man, you know, it's if you focus on your people and you focus on doing what's right by them, even if it fucking, you know, cost you a little heartache, cost you a little emotional trauma, whatever. If you just do right, like, the universe will pay you back. You know what I mean? And just with us, like, we don't have a choice. You like, we burnt our ships, you know what I mean? Like Cortez style, like there's no retreat. There's no surrender. Like we have to get out of this and we have to move forward. Cause you know, it's our life. Dude. It's not a fucking game. Yeah. But at the same time, dude, it's like with the help of everybody and like the collective effort of everybody, it's like, I really have faith that we'll be able to do this. And I hope that, you know, in some way, like maybe we can show other people like a path that they didn't see before. Cause you know, we're like the, what would you call it? Like the delinquents, you know, the misfits, the outcasts, the outsiders, you know, and to rise above and actually do something great, but not for ourselves, but for everybody else. Like, it's got to be a story worth telling eventually, right?
True, true. You know, I don't know, man. You know, life is a quandary, but only if you create it. You know, Travis, I'm going to hand the mic to you. Any final thoughts? Anything you'd like to say? The floor is yours.
Titan Sage on September 30th. Shout out to Appleseed Horticulture and Flower Child Naturals. And just, you know, to everyone listening out there, man, you know, just be you. Do the, you know, follow your passion. Don't get caught in the trap that everyone gets caught into, man. Find something you love and pursue it, and pursue it like it's a life or death, because it is. And, you know, for anyone out there who just, you know, wants to reach out, say what's up, Misfit the Gold on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all that good shit. And everyone out there, you know, just be you. And as always, you know, thank you, Don. We're, you know, forever grateful, man.
You know, I appreciate you guys because I'll be in the 916 shortly. And I can't wait to look and see the expressions on many a faces as I will be basing my show and basing my life out of the 916, and it's going to be tremendous.
We got to give a shout out to our missing brother at home. You know, my fucker's on his period, but Sam Tumor couldn't make it.
Sam Late Bloomer Tumor.
his toothpaste trust fund is starting to run a little low, and he had to replenish.
He's like a newborn baby. He has to be caressed and fondled in order for life to be proper. No, I'm fucking
around.
So on that note, I love you guys, man. Thank you for joining me today. I look forward to next week's show, and, man, many more to come. To both of you, God bless.
Love you, bro.
Have a tremendous day.
Love you too, Doug.
Peace. Ladies and gentlemen, we're running a little behind, so we're going to jump right to Nate Williams.
Good. How you doing, sir?
Well, first and foremost, I want to apologize for the screw-up with you were supposed to be on Thursday. I had a bunch of stuff come up. I ended up in another city and wasn't able to make things happen the way I wanted them to. And, you know, first and foremost, I want to apologize. Then I got the time wrong with you, and here I'm getting pissed, you know, because you're at work, and I'm expecting a response. I didn't get it, so I'm kind of doing crap.
No, it's all good, bro. It's all good.
You said to fight THC. Whatever you're eating,
yes,
bro, it's jacking my ear up.
What'd you say?
What's that crackling noise, bro? It's real bad.
Oh, is that better?
Yeah. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, that's a lot better. You're set to fight,
okay.
You know, fighting PA cage fights. It's not listed on your Tapology page. Why don't you let my listeners know when this event is and who you're prepared to do battle with?
It's September 22nd. I'm fighting Sean Shorty Rock Santella for the flyweight title.
Yeah, and PA cage fights is... it's quite a prestigious, you know, if you haven't heard of them, you need to check it out. I happen to know the owners of the promotions, and, you know, it's a promotion that my fighters have fought on. You know, it may not be a Bellator and it may not be the UFC, but, you know, it's truly an organization that has gained momentum. It truly has a well-defined record and putting on tremendous shows. So what's it going to mean for Nate Williams to take a step out to the East Coast and show the fans out there?
Oh, man, I fought in New Jersey a couple of times, and I had a lot of fun. I just can't wait to get in there. I honestly don't really care where I fight at as long as I get to fight, and I know he has a name, and so that's what I wanted. I mean, I'm not trying to run my mouth about anybody, but I've been trying to fight this dude for a long time. I think it's been about 4 years now, 4 or 5 years, and just it never happened. Either he already had a fight, or just promoter couldn't make it happen. So I'm excited that the promoter was able to make this fight happen. We both need it. I know he's close to getting the UFC. I should have been, honestly, in UFC a long time ago, but, I mean, it is what it is. Like I said, I got Bellator, so I'm happy with that. But, I mean, I can't wait to get – I actually can't wait to get in there. I mean, it's going to be a fun fight.
Well, you know, when you look at it, you know, from a person just looking in, you know, one can truly say that this is a fight that can propel Nate Williams where you truly need to be. You know, it could give you the acclaim. As you say, he said, you know, if he wins, he's going to be going to the UFC shortly anyway. You know, let's look at a hypothetical situation. If you win this fight, do you think it'll give you that opportunity back in Bellator or the UFC that you've been looking for?
Oh, you know, honestly, I hope so. I mean, I've been doing it for a long time now, and I'm seeing all these guys on the Dana White Contender Series and stuff getting on there. Yeah, they have good records, but it's like I have a good record too, you know. I mean, yeah, I have some losses, but, I mean, I have more wins than losses. And my wins are by submission or TKO, so it's not like I go out and decision everybody. I finish fights. So, I mean, I guess back to your question, yeah, I think so, and I hope so. And if it doesn't, I mean, it is what it is. I've done a lot of my career that I can be happy and proud of. So, I mean, I don't need to get to the bigger show because I've done it, but I want to get that satisfaction of knowing that I made it. I can be a Bellator vet and a UFC vet. Not many people can say that. So, I mean, that's what I want. And I think that I know if I beat him or not, if when I beat him, that it should happen. And I'm going to tell him. I'm going to tell Dana White or whoever's there because I know somebody's going to be there. I'm going to tell him, can you see me now? Can you see me now? Honestly, can you see me now? I've done it. I've done a lot in my career, and not once have they approached me. So, you know, can you see me now? That's exactly what I'm going to say.
Yeah, you know, and I have to agree with you because if you look, I mean, anybody can go to Tapology, Wikipedia, or whatever. And if you look, you're currently ranked 12th, you know, as a bantamweight, but you're also ranked 5th as a flyweight. I mean, so when you look at it in that aspect, you know, I think the entertainment aspect of the sport has truly taken over and is taking fights from deserving fighters like you. I think you've been around for 9-10 years now, just as far as the sport is concerned. You've been in it a lot longer than that as far as wrestling and everything else. So when you combine those equations together, you know, it just truly dismays me because the ability that you have and all the hard work and the determination and the passion that you've put in the sport, to me, I feel has been overlooked. Now Dana White comes out, as you said, with this Contender Series. I think it's a tremendous attribute in some ways, because I think others are going to be allowed to be seen on more on a focal point. But if you look at the warriors that have already been there, if you're not a shit talker, if you're not a Conor McGregor type atmosphere, if you're not going to bring the asses to the seats per se because of your mouth, then generally you don't make it onto a card. You know, when you first...
And that's not what I'm about.
Yeah.
I don't sit there and talk shit.
No, you don't. And see, that's the point I'm getting at. You coming from a grit and grind fighter, a person that truly got in the sport for the right reason, has the true passion and love for this, how does it make you feel knowing that people transgendering from the WWE and other aspects of different sports into the sport are taking away positions from you, the person that truly deserves them?
You know, I thought about that myself, but like I said before, I know what I've done, and I'm happy what I've done and what I've accomplished in my MMA career. So, I mean, am I kind of pissed off? Yeah. But then in another sense, God gave me everything that I've done in my career. So, I mean, I can't sit there and, oh, well, if I would have done this, if I would have done, it didn't happen. God didn't give it to me like that. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it sucks. But then I got to step back and sit back and think about it. Like, God has gave me a lot of good opportunities, you know. So I can't sit there and, how do I say it, down anybody else for the opportunity they got. Because, I mean, I don't know how they got it. Maybe, like, shit-talking, or maybe they know somebody, or they have a trainer that's in the UFC, or... So something. I don't have that. You know, I'm not a shit talker. I don't have a guy that's in the UFC that can vouch for me. Do I have a couple fighters that I know that are in the UFC? Yeah. But it's not like they're well connected. Like, oh, yeah, you need to look at him. You need to get him in now. It's not like that. So I've worked hard for everything I've had. I worked hard to get my ass in Bellator. I worked hard to get my 14 belts that I have in MMA. So, I mean, I worked my ass off. So, I'm happy. Like I said before, I'm happy what I've done. And I can't dwell on what I got looked at. I don't know why I haven't got looked at. The matchmaker knows who I am. So, that's out of the question. He knows who I am. I've talked to him before. When he was with Legacy. So, it's not like he don't know who I am. So, I don't know.
It's kind of, it just kind of dismayed me, because your last opponent, I mean, for one, you've never fought a slouch, you know, and then you look at your last opponent, he's currently ranked number one in the Midwest, and, you know, you got taught a lesson that night, but then you go back and you look at your career and the fighters that you have fought, and it truly speaks profoundly about who you are, the passion that you exude, and the abilities that you have. So, you know, I know we've talked about on shows before, you're talking about hanging up the gloves and things of this nature, because you got to move on in certain aspects of life. I look at your career on the other hand, and I tell you no, you know, because I look at what you're capable of. I look at the magnitude of who you are, and I appreciate the type of fighter that you are. You know, people say, oh, well, maybe you're holding on to the old school aspect of the sport. Well, you know what? The sport's hundreds of years old.
That's where I came from. That's where I was raised up, is the old school, before all this Facebook, Twitter, Instagram crap, before this technology. Now, I barely used Facebook when I first started fighting. So, I mean, I just know I'm not into that media crap, you know, that I'm not about that. I'm not about the, oh, you suck, motherfucker, I'll beat your ass, blah, blah. I'm not about that. You know, I'm a humble guy, humble fighter. That's how I was raised. growing up for my mother and my father is to be humble. So I mean, I can't get into the shit talking. It's just not me. And that's what all these guys, these promoters want is, oh yeah, you need to talk shit. You need to hype up the fight. Well, I'm like Demetrius Johnson. He's not a shit talker. He goes out and does it in the cage. That's how I do it. That's how I've always done it. And I will not ever be somebody that sits there and talks down on somebody, because what happens if I go out there and get my ass whooped? And then I look like a fool for sitting there running my mouth. You know what I mean? It's not worth it. I mean, it takes up so much time sitting there having to go back and forth on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, when you can, I mean, it takes up a lot of your time when you could be out there training. I just don't get it.
I truly don't get it either, my friend. You know, as I'm a little bit older than you. Well, I guess I'm maybe a lot older than you, but when I was first growing up, hell, they didn't even have color television, you know, and you look at life, or at least I do, because I'm old enough to say this. You know, I look at life and the way it used to be. I look at when I first stepped into the sport of boxing, and then when I slowly transitioned to Muay Thai and then into MMA, you know, how different the sport has changed. And,
oh, it has.
Yeah. You know, I speak with people like Stitch and Dan Mergliotta and Dean Laster and Jimmy Smith and a lot of other people that have no idea who these people are. They truly think that Jimmy Smith is just the voice of Bellator. You know, if you think that's a fact of life because of social media, then truly go in and pull up Jimmy Smith Tapology and come back and tell me your opinion later. You know, this life and this sport that we love so much is founded by people that had the same dream that we do. Then you get these people that bring in scenarios that truly bring I think is what we can call a great demise or a slow ending to a sport that we all love so much. But I kind of want to jump to this opportunity that you got in PA cage fights. You know, this is going to be a tremendous fight for you. It's a tremendous opponent, as you stated. It's an opponent that you've always wanted to fight for the last 4 years. Now you got this opportunity. What is Nate Williams going to do to take advantage of this opportunity?
I've been off for the past eight weeks. As soon as I heard that he was going to take the fight, I immediately started training. Because I've been wanting this fight for so long. I just think it needed to happen. Yeah, he's in Pennsylvania, I'm in Iowa, but I've been wanting to fight this dude for a long time, and I don't know why it didn't happen, never happened, but this fight needs to happen. It needs to happen. It needs to be done and over with. I'm sick of having to, hit him up, hey, I want to fight. And he's came down in the Midwest and fought. I think one of his last fights was in the Midwest. And, you know, he actually won by a triangle. So, like I said, this fight needs to happen. It's happening. I can't wait. I can't wait. I hope he's ready. I hope he's not taking me lightly. And if he is, it sucks to be him, because I know what he's capable of. I know what he can do. And I'm preparing myself the best way I can, the best way I know how, with the guys I have around me, to go out there with a victory and come home with the new belt, and then let UFC, let Bellator know, can you see me now? Stop fucking around and get me something. Like, I'm done. I'm done playing around. Get me something, or I'm going to have to call it quits. I mean, I have a couple more fights in me, and then I'm done. And I want it to be my last couple fights in a big show.
And I truly do. I truly believe you deserve that. You know, we look at fighters like Zach Cummings, you know, and a lot of people know that I'm very close with him in life. But I think it's a tremendous, you know, opportunity for me to show others how these promotions sometimes work. You look at Zach Cummings, I believe he's 23 and and 3 or 23 and 2. And yet not even in the top 15. You know,
that's crazy. Crazy.
And he even said on my show one time, I don't know what it's going to take for me to get in the top 15 or even, matter of fact, get onto a co-main or main event card. And you're talking about a man just like you that has dedicated his life to the sport and has walked that path like you with integrity. And it just throws me off because I think so much of the money aspect has taken over the sport that some things really need to go back to the ways of old, and I think the fans would appreciate it. I think the sport would, you know, continue to grow. But one thing that I would like to, you know from my heart is, you know, as I know the career in your mind is coming to an end, you know, as you see it, if things don't go a certain way, you know, what is it like for you to sit down with your family and, you know, to discuss the possibility that you may be stepping away from the cage, or is this something that you've thought about and have already spoke with your family in the past?
We've already talked about it. I talked to my wife about it. She's happy either way. She loves to see me do what I do and do well. But now that I have a son, it's taken a lot of time away from me seeing him, and that's the most important thing to me is watching my son grow up, because my dad was there in my life, but not as much as I wanted him to be, and I don't want that for my son. So, I mean, I think that's the biggest reason why I'm considering stepping away, and plus, I run a management as well. So I want to give back to these new guys, or these guys that are in my same position aren't getting looked at. And I mean, I want to coach. I'm a middle school and a high school wrestling coach for here in my hometown, and I want to be able to put all my time into that and other aspects of my life. Like I said, I've been doing this for a long time now, and it's time for something new, for me to put all my energy and all my ability into something else. Granted, no, I don't want to quit. I don't want to, but I mean, it's kind of the time that, okay, you're getting older now, your body's not like what it used to be. So, I mean, it's time to either get it all in now, or you got to be done.
You know, Nate, sometimes we sit back and we look at things in life, you know, just as generally as a man. But, you know, being a warrior, you kind of look at it in two aspects. How complete is Nate Williams, knowing that, you know, he may be walking away from the sport that he's truly dedicated his whole life to? What kind of profound thoughts does it leave in the back of your head, knowing that you gave it your all only to see the sport change and give others that are not so deserving ample opportunities, but yet here you are, a tremendous fighter that has fought, you know, great warriors, has led the humble road, and now you may have to hang the gloves up because entertainment truly has taken the sport over. How does it make you feel as a man and a warrior, knowing that all this time in your life may be, you know, shunned upon or looked over just because of a dollar or putting an ass in a seat?
I mean, like I said before, God gave me what I have. So I can't sit back and say, oh, well, that's bullshit, I didn't get this, it's bullshit, I didn't get that. I'm grateful for what I've got, you know. I'm grateful for the people I've had have supported me and continue supporting me, and all the stuff that I have gotten, the Bellator, the title fights, the sponsors, just making new friends along the journey of this, these past 9-10 years of fighting, I've gotten to meet a lot of great people from how I met you. And I mean, I can't say, like I said, I can't sit back and say this bullshit, I didn't get this. Well, because some people don't even get what I got. So who am I to say that, oh yeah, that's fucked up, I didn't get this, I didn't get that. Well, like I said, some people haven't got what I got. So I mean, I'm content with what I have. I'm a Bellator vet, you know, that can't be taken away from me. I've had ups and downs in my career. I've had titles, I've lost titles, you know, I've done almost all of it. I've traveled around the United States for fights. So I'm pretty content of what I've had and what I've done. But just that icing on the cake, getting called to the UFC, getting that UFC contract or that Bellator contract again would be the icing on the cake. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. It wasn't meant to be. God didn't want it to happen, didn't need it to happen. So, like I said, I'm content with what I've gotten.
You know, I personally think that Bellator contract's going to happen because I actually think that you're going to go in and you're going to make a statement that is justifiable, and it's going to, you know, put your name out there in many, many, many aspects and avenues that you so justly deserve it. You know, Nate, you've had a lot of fans. You've got a lot of support. You've met a lot of great fighters in your life, and you have a tremendous family. When you sit back, and sometimes we all have a reflection, as I stated earlier, you know, if you could make a statement to how pertinent all of these people have been in your life and truly what it means for you to have this in the palm of your hand and in your heart moving forward, what would that statement be?
Hi, buddy. My statement is like I said, I've done it all. God gave me the ability to do this for this long and keep up with some of these younger fighters, this new generation of fighters. I mean, because this new generation of fighters, it's tough to deal with. But I have some good training partners and some good coaches that are helping me adapt to this new age fighting. So, I mean, I don't know. God, like I said, God gave me the ability to do what I've done, and I can't be pissed off about it. All I could do is learn from it. I mean, that in itself, being able to do what I've done, okay, is awesome. Hey, buddy. I mean, just coming home and being able to hear my son say, "Dad, that is enough for me." You know, that's enough for me.
You know, that was the coolest part of the show for me, to hear your son, you know, call you Dad. You know, that's one thing I do love about my show is I love the family aspect. You know, I've had several world champions and legends and great fighters of the sport, and to be able to, you know, sometimes they bring their families on, sometimes, you know, their families are sitting right next to them listening, and I think that's the thing that inspires me to continue to do this show is to see the true heart, the true intent of each and every warrior that I bring on the program, and then to be able to have their family there and, you know, sometimes come on. It means the world to me. You know, I think back to a show with Professor Joe Stevenson and, you know, a tremendous UFC vet. He brought his boy on a show one day, and, you know, to me, that's the greatest gift of all is family. What you've created out of the cage, not what you've created in the cage.
Exactly.
My friend, you truly have inspired a lot of people. You have a tremendous wife and a tremendous son, and your mentality towards the sport is that of a true warrior. You know, so in saying that, what can people expect, you know, from Nate Williams, you know, on this night? If you had to make a statement to the fans of PA Cage Fights, to the Nate Williams fans, what they could expect come fight night?
They better be ready for a show, because that's all I do is put on a show. Win, lose, draw, it doesn't matter. I put on a show, and Sean Shorty Oxentella, you will know you've been in a fight after you get out of the cage. Win or lose, bro, you will know you've been in the fight. Because I will bring it. I will bring it from the start of the bell to the end of the bell. You will know you've been into a damn fight. I can guarantee you that. I put that on everything. I put that on my son. You will know you've been into a fight. You will have to finish me to win. You're not going to edge me out. You're not going to decision me. No, you better put me away to win this fight, or I'm going to put you away.
Better believe that.
I hope you are ready, and I hope he is listening. I hope all his friends are listening. Be ready for a fight, bro. I know I don't sit there and talk shit, but you know what? Be ready for a fight. It will be a show. It will be an exciting, fast-paced, bond-burning show. I can tell you that right now.
I believe that. You know, one thing, like I said, is I've watched a lot of your career. I've watched a lot of your fights. You truly are a tremendous athlete, and you're even a better father and husband, as we stated earlier. You know, it's a privilege for me to bring someone like you on my show. I look forward to
it. It's my honor, man. I love it. I love talking with you. I love getting on your show. I mean, it's awesome talking to you. It's because it's talk about life. You know what I mean? Not just about the fight, not about, oh, kick his ass, this and that. No, it's about life. And that's what I like. You know, like I said, you already know me. I don't sit there and talk shit. And that's what some of these other guys, these radio guys, TV, want is you to sit there and talk shit. I'm not about that. I'm about being humble. I mean, but I state the truth. You know, I tell you how it is.
And you most certainly do. You always have, each and every time I bring you on the show. And that's one thing I enjoy about bringing you on the show is, you know, a lot of people are starting, the show is gaining magnitude as of right now. Even this episode is being aired on iHeartRadio. It's being aired on Univision and several other subsidiaries as my show's gone into syndication. You know, I built this show organically without a thought of ever making money. I never wanted to make money off this show because I wanted to give back to the fighters that truly have blessed me in life, and you being one of them. And so when I was hit with the syndication deal, I tried to sabotage it 10, 12, 13 times just so they would renege on the contract. And every time I asked for something, I got it. And, you know.
Because you're the best.
Well,
you can't doubt that. You know what I mean? You can't doubt that. Can't deny it.
Well, what happened yesterday, I'm not going to argue with you because, you know, the thing that's been happening in the last few weeks, I'm finding a promotion after promotion, not just the PR people, but the owners of said promotions are asking me now to run their fighters through my programming. And yesterday I had the owner of Lion Fights hit me up and ask me would I start running his fighters through my programming. And it truly means a lot to me to build a show from nothing and truly give the fighters, you know, it's called the Fighters' Voice, but now it truly has given the fighters a roar because now we have a possibility of up to 30 million listeners. And with that being said, you know, it's a blessing to me that I have warriors like you that come on each and every time, truly open your hearts and share who you are with my listeners. It truly has been a blessing to have you on and to know you in life. I wish you the best of luck come your next fight. At this point in time, I'm going to hand the microphone over to you, my brother. Any friends, any family, any social media sites, or just anything you would like to add to the program, the floor is yours.
I just want to thank everybody that's been with me through the ups and downs of my career, the past 9-10 years of me fighting. What, buddy? That supported me through the thick and the thin, through my ups and downs, like I said. All my sponsors, all my training partners at Team Bad Intentions, all my guys that I help manage, all my all everybody that's on my management roster, on my fight team roster, that helped me get ready. All my coaches, Round Kick Gym, Pete Peterson helped me a lot with my Muay Thai. He's been around for years, and he's one of the best stand-up coaches around. And to have him back in my corner means a lot. Because he could be doing other things, but he took time out of his day to help me, and I really and truly thank him for that. My wife for picking up the slack that I have to, step back from training while I'm working all day and then training five hours out of the maybe 7 hours I'm at home, or that I could be at home. She's picking up the slack and doing all this just so I can live my dream of hopefully one day back in Bellator or being in the UFC. Not a lot of people can say that. It makes me kind of tear up. It makes me tear up because she's done that. Not many people would do that because it's a lot of it's time consuming. I think my little boy for letting me do this and always being like when I'm tired or I'm in a pissed off mood from training or I come home and he's right there, dad. It makes me feel a lot better. So I want to do this for him. I want to win this fight for him, not for myself, not for anybody else, for him. Because he's been to, I think my last three, four fights, and just seeing him after my fight is rewarding. Knowing that, okay, now I can take a couple months off, or I can take a month off and just relax and chill and put all my time and my dedication into him, making him a beast, making him start smashing people in wrestling. That's what I want. I want to be able to see him on the wrestling mat, having that hard work and dedication that I had coming up and beating people in jiu-jitsu, whatever he's doing. I don't care what he's doing. I don't care if he's playing baseball, what sport he's playing, if he's in the choir. I don't care what he's doing. I just want him to know that I put all my hard work and all my time into something I love, and that's what I want him to do. Be the best person. Be the best you can be in whatever you're doing. That's what I want. It's truly a blessing. It's opened up my eyes a lot having a son. It really has, and it's not all about me anymore.
Oh, I truly know that feeling.
That's right, dude.
I know that feeling, as my son is 32 years old, and, I look back, and you helped me relish in those days of when he was born and what it meant to me, and I'm truly humbled and honored to know you, my friend, and man, I wouldn't have it any other way. You're just a blessing to the sport. You're a blessing in life, and you roll real. And with that being said, you just can't expect that anything out of an individual more than you already represent. And I'm just truly honored to know you.
Oh man, it's an honor to know you, to even give me the opportunity to get out here and hear my voice, hear my story. It's my honor. You didn't have to. You really didn't know me almost a year ago, and now I talk to you more than I talk to some other people. It's just because I don't have time for that fake and that fake people, the yes men. I don't have time for that. And you're true, you're humble, and you're like me. You say how it is.
That's the only way to be in life. Exactly. It truly defines who we are.
Exactly.
It's truly been an honor, my friend. I'm blessed to know you, and I can't look forward to, you know, hopefully we can get you on right before your fight again. Like to do that, bring you on and share the thrill of the moment with you, and then we'll get you back on after your fight. You know, keep being you, man. You truly are what the sport is all about. I want to thank you again
for
joining me this afternoon, and I wish you the best of luck, my brother.
Thank you. You have a good rest of your day. God bless.
You too. Love you, bro. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Nate Williams, a tremendous vet in the sport and a gentleman that I have a profound amount of respect for. You know, I reach out to very few people in life, but the ones that I drew, I can't even speak today, the ones that I do truly have changed who I am and live the life that I live. With that being said, I'd like to thank Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, for presenting the show. I'd like to thank the United Way Merced, Affliction, the 86ers with Freddie and Albert. Alfred. God, I can't even think today. It's been a long week, too many shows. Next week we're going back to a 3-show format, as I think that gives the fighters a better interview when I'm just a little bit more rested. On that note, I'm going to take you out with a little bit of music. You have a good day. God bless. Wrong one. Here we go.
I've been booty since I got the bag. I don't want you know. All my niggas getting money now. Thought we running shit from FanDuel. Well, I'm more than you can handle. Kevin Block,